Tested is sponsored by Duke Health, home of the Pandemic Response Network, helping communities stay safe and connected during the COVID-19 pandemic by partnering with local school, business, and faith-based organizations to launch COVID-19 symptom support programs in their own communities. Learn more at pandemicresponsenetwork.org. We're also supported by Hungry Harvest, delivering farm-fresh produce and kitchen staples to your door starting at $15. Every delivery fights food waste and supports local hunger-solving organizations. HungryHarvest.net.
It just broke my heart, and I was trying to find some space to process with other Asian American friends, and just to cry and to share those feelings also with my two sons, who are asking how I was feeling or why I was sad.
I'm Leonita Inge. This is Tested from WUNC, a look at what the day's challenges tell us about where we are, what we believe, and who we want to be in North Carolina and the South. Today, the virus and anti-Asian violence. The carnage in Atlanta was grisly proof of a grim statistic. Acts of violence against people of Asian descent have grown in the last year. This week, 8 people were killed at 3 different Atlanta area businesses. 6 of the victims were women of Asian descent. As we continue to learn details about them and the suspects' motivations, one thing is clear to many Americans at this point. Something needs to be done about anti-Asian racism.
So I was devastated to know that 6 out of the 8 were Asian American, 4 women being Korean American of descent, which is also my ethnicity. Haven't been able to stop weeping, to be honest.
Gina Chung is a mother of 2 in Durham, North Carolina. Her tears are backed up by cries from Asian communities that this was a massacre motivated by hate. But will the crime be treated as such? Cherokee County Sheriff Captain Jay Baker pointed to another reason the suspect, a white male, decided to take lives.
When I spoke with investigators, they interviewed him this morning, and they got that impression that, yes, he understood the gravity of it, and he was pretty much fed up and kind of at the end of his rope, and yesterday was a really bad day for him, and this is what he did.
I'll tell you who had a bad day. The people who were killed and their loved ones. In fact, people of Asian descent have been having a year of bad days since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. From the racist nicknames for the virus, to the blame placed on those communities from the former resident of the White House. Anti-Asian animosity has manifested into a rise in harassment and abuse. A new report by the organization Stop AAPI Hate revealed about 3,800 incidents between March of 2020 and February of this year. Durham mom Gina Chung says it's too much to bear. She thinks about what happened to one of her sons at school just before the shutdown.
It wasn't anything really aggressive like I've read in other parts of the country where one child was chased down. This is a high school student who was chased down, beaten up, sent to the hospital because of his ethnicity, his racial identity. But definitely more on the microaggression spectrum where just because he was Asian, he was targeted as someone who had COVID. And if he or another Asian American student had coughed, they would be targeted by other classmates and said, oh, you have COVID. And we already know that middle school is pretty traumatizing and it's in and of itself, or can be, in the sense that everyone's going through changes. And he already wears glasses. He's one of very few Asian students at his school. So there's already sort of some barriers up against him already. So having to deal with this on top of that was just, it was just too much. So he came home, I'm so happy that he was able to share this with me, and very upset in telling me what had happened to him, that this had happened not only to him, but other students that he was friends with.
So have you felt during this pandemic, especially, that there have been more racist attacks or even slurs against Asian Americans that you know or that you've been in contact with or even that you've read about, you know, because of, we know what the former president used to say about why we're in a pandemic, you know, he blamed it on China. And so how have you fared in your family, you know, during this time?
It has been difficult. It has been difficult. We know there has been at least 150% increase in anti-Asian crimes in the major cities. And we're talking about liberal cities, quote unquote, such as San Francisco, New York City, and Boston. And it has impacted me in our lives in so many ways, even though most of our time is spent at home because of the pandemic. And also because of what's been going on, I think we have to set boundaries. So for me, it's impacted where I go, you know, even if it's just to the grocery or to the mall to return something or even gas stations, I try to go in and out as quickly as possible to be masked up, of course, and maybe not wear anything very conspicuous and wearing my sunglasses. It's something as, you know, I'm thinking of that. I think about who I interact with in person with masks safely, you know, or even online, are these people safe? Are they trustworthy? Can I believe that they're going to take me at face value and not judge me and how I'm feeling and what I'm experiencing or what others are? It also impacts what I read, right? Who I follow on social media. Are these sources credible? Again, are they trustworthy? Are they triggering? And even what I say, I'm a second generation Korean American. I was born in Boston, Massachusetts, along with my two sisters. But I feel almost this need to speak extra clear or more articulately so people don't label me as an immigrant or something other that, you know, that doesn't belong or that we don't belong in this country. We're not from here. And even things that I wear, you know, like I said, sometimes I try to be inconspicuous, but sometimes I'm drawn to purchase these t-shirts or sweatshirts online that say, I am American, or I'm not your model minority. You know, culturally, we are taught to keep quiet and not make trouble. And then there's also the factor of people in the past that have spoken up, but were not listened to or didn't get much traction at all. And so I can see why they may want to give up because they've tried so hard and nothing came of that. So I feel like this collective effort and so many voices speaking up, and not just our own, but people from other racial groups have been speaking up. I think collectively, when we get together, we can make change, right? We can make a louder noise that people listen to.
Some of that noise sounds like going public with painful recollections of times when you feared for your safety because of your ethnicity. Gabby Zhang is a recent graduate of North Carolina State University in Raleigh. This time last year, the international student from China remembers decorating the door of her off-campus apartment for the Chinese New Year.
One day I went home and I saw the traditional Chinese decoration on my front door were all torn in pieces. Later on, I had a chance to talk to my roommate, and she and I both noticed a week ago the left side of the decoration was torn down. The last time we have seen it, they were all torn into pieces. We were really shocked because we lived in an apartment really close to campus. Everyone there is, you know, university student, was supposed to be a really welcoming, friendly environment for us to live. We didn't believe this happened. We were just shocked basically at the beginning. Then we thought about it more and more and brought us to a level that concerned about safety.
Gabby and her roommate called the police. They even got to see the video of the culprit, a neighbor of theirs. But in the end, nothing happened.
At some level, my roommate and I had to see the counseling to feel better, and we were exhausted. We feel that we had to try anything, any way we could do to help us out. But still, nothing really happened. We didn't get any apology from the student who came to our door, tore the decoration for 3 times. We didn't even have chance to see them. We weren't allowed to see them, meet them, receive the apology for some reason.
Gabby says her case didn't move forward because the crime was not considered violent. She says the only thing left to do was take her trauma to social media.
You know, from my experience, I was still disappointed about the result because we didn't hear anything from anywhere. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't speak up and stand up to share our story. I didn't know I was supported, loved, cared by so many people and so many organizations till I shared my story. I think sharing story is literally the first and the only way to open the opportunity and fight for equality.
Gabby Zhang is off to graduate school soon. She plans to attend the University of Southern California. A nonprofit in North Carolina is encouraging people in the Asian American and Pacific Islander community to help them report and document incidents of discrimination. Meet one of the organizers in just a moment.
Tested is a production of WUNC North Carolina Public Radio. This is a good time to say thanks to everyone who supports WUNC. Thank you so much for making Tested and all the WUNC podcasts and programs possible. If you have not yet made a contribution, consider doing so now at WUNC.org. More than half of what it takes to operate WUNC comes from listener support, and your support today is so appreciated. Become a sustainer or increase your monthly gift at WUNC.org. And thanks.
While I wish we weren't coming together for such a devastating reason, I'm grateful to all of you for being here and that we're able to support each other, especially in such an isolating time in the wake of this tragedy and so many other recent tragedies.
Chevy Kanakuneru is executive director of NCAT, North Carolina Asian Americans Together. She's speaking at a virtual vigil this week in support of Asian American and Pacific Islanders, the AAPI community. Heidi Kim was also a part of the event. She's the director of the Asian American Center at UNC Chapel Hill.
There's always this undercurrent of anger that surfaces periodically. I am not that old, but I've lived through several waves of this kind of anti-Asian violence. And when there are that many waves, what it means is that it's always there. It just enters into the public consciousness a little bit more at certain times than at others. So we stand together here, and we know that we have suffered these attacks for decades, really centuries in this country, but we also know that we have risen above, that we are resilient. And that's, I think, an equally important lesson to take from this history.
The most important thing is recognizing that the Asian community is not monolith, that there are very diverse needs.
Ricky Lung is Senior Director of Programs at NCAT. The organization has set up an online portal to document incidents of discrimination, no matter how small, suffered by Asian Americans across the state. He says NCAT has been collecting its data alongside the national organization Stop AAPI Hate. They've collectively received more than 30 incident reports in North Carolina in the last year.
And the majority of those have been classified as verbal incidents. In terms of the reporting, we haven't gotten a large amount that is in the violent category. There's been some defacing property. That's not to say that there aren't incidents outside of those that have been reported. There is a lot of number of factors where people might not be reporting incidents. We hope to address some of that by saying that we're not going to share the information, the specific information, with anybody.
I wonder what would be a main obstacle for Asian people, let's say even in North Carolina, not to report an incident. Are they afraid of it not coming to some type of conclusion, or they're just not wanting to reveal who they are? Even though I know this is anonymous, but I did get the chance to speak to a young lady. She feels definitely that she was discriminated against and her property was attacked. And she just said, in a way, she didn't want to speak out either, but she's so glad that she did, you know, because she hopefully expects others to do the same and not just keep this level of racism, especially during this time, a secret. You know, like, this is no time for secrets.
I think there are multiple factors at play. And before I get deeper into what you're saying, I also would also note that there are also incidents that sometimes get reported and not classified as racially motivated. And that's particularly an issue for crimes committed against Asian people. And we see that, like, in a lot of discourse, even the incidents that happened in Georgia, where there has been some folks who are hesitant or refuse to classify as a hate crime against Asian people. A lot of times I feel like Asian communities might feel like invisibilized, that our stories don't matter. And then, like, why does it matter if we even speak out anymore about issues like these, right? Because we're told by folks that, hey, like, this is, don't worry about it. It's, you know, not because you're Asian, it's just because that person's having a bad day. I think that plays a lot into what we may see as low official reported numbers. And I'm not to say it to dismiss that there are also cultural factors at play of, I think, that plays into each other. The expectation of, like, the model minority of, like, the Asian community being a group of folks who are gonna, quote unquote, don't make noise. I think there's a bit of, like, those stereotypes and also internalized racism at play here.
Well, what do you think needs to happen to get to the root cause of anti-Asian American racism in the U.S.? I mean, like, what are some of the barriers that are in place that, you know, your organization hopes to help knock down?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. I think to get at the root causes, it takes a lot of understanding and listening in general. I think, you know, the example that I had cited before, when anecdotes of people, like, saying that, hey, what happened to me or this crime is a hate crime targeted at my race, to, like, actually listen and recognize that and not to totally dismiss it. And I would say that, like, things like this happen, like reaching out to, like, your Asian friends and just check in. Maybe not the how are you doing question, maybe more like, I'm here for you. I see you. To me, that means a lot when someone reaches out and say, hey, I'm here for you. I see you. The other piece to it is, you know, also recognizing that, you know, a lot of what we're dealing with is the root cause being white supremacy. So recognizing that piece as well, to work intersectionally and addressing it across our various communities of color, and being supportive of each other in that way. In true solidarity.
For more information and resources on how to intervene and help stop anti-Asian racism, you can visit advancingjustice.org. That's it for this episode of Test It. Charlie Shelton Orman produced this show. Lindsay Foster Thomas is our executive producer. I'm Leonida Inge. Thanks for listening.